This morning, we're going back into, I started a series of teachings, something the Lord spoke to me. He gave the title, even the title for it. He told me to title this Above All Things, and it came from the scriptures from 3 John, the second chapter. And he had spoke this scripture, just came right up in my spirit, and and inside, it wasn't an audible voice to the outside, but in the inside of me, I could hear. And this scripture was quoted to me, and it was quoted out of the King James Version. Now, the Bible I teach out of, I teach the New King James, it was quoted to me by the Lord from the King James Version. I knew it when I heard it, but in 3 John, the second verse says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And the Lord spoke that scripture to me, and he said to me that, and told me what to entitle it, and he said he wanted me to begin to teach in this area. And so I just started spending, just meditating on that scripture in itself, just the scripture itself. You know, sometimes, you can go into a study. I advise you to do more meditation than just study. Is meditate on something. You know, so many times people are trying to find 27 scriptures about a thing and really don't know what any of them really say much about them. God, we found out, we talked about last week, is number one, if we're going to change or the change what we're going to do in life, first thing you're going to have to change is the way you think. You don't change the way you think, it doesn't matter. You're going to believe and walk and do in line with what you think. And if you don't change the way that you think, you're just going to stay in the same direction. We've had a problem in the church world. And I remember back when I first came into the kingdom, I got born again. I came out of a Christian family, but I wasn't born again. And it wasn't until I was 30 years old when I accepted Christ. And by that time, I was living really squirrely. But I still had a lot of religious thinking put into me over the years, and I thought those religious thoughts. And I thought of God in that manner. And when I got born again and started going over to reading the scriptures and looking at the scriptures, I found out the scriptures were totally different than what I had been told. I found out that lots of times what they were doing were passing on what they heard and not even checking to see if the Bible even said it. I remember my mama used to make quotes and say, "The Bible says such and such." And I found out things. My mama misquoted the Bible a lot. Great lady, wonderful lady, but she didn't know the Bible. They would sit and listen to people preach and people would tell them something. But even when they read the Bible, they read it in the light of what they believed instead of what it said. You know, you can do that. You can sit down and read something or even listen to somebody talk, but you'll listen according to what you believe and not what they said. When you sit down and really look at the words. So, and I learned this, thank God, sitting under Kenneth Hagin's teaching. Kenneth Hagin taught, that he used to use the term, you read your Bible with your religious colored glasses. In other words, you read them with glasses, in a sense, you're reading them with glasses that have what you believe instead of what it says. And so I realized, I started going into scriptures and started looking at the scriptures and started looking at things, and I found out, dear Lord, the Bible didn't say a lot of things that people told me it said. People, or they misquoted or sometimes used a scripture out of context of what was said. People developed things. And so I found out it took a lot of work from the standpoint to renew my mind. I remember when I first started off, things the way I thought, there were certain areas I had a hard time of walking in the freedom that the Bible gave me because of things that I had been told over the years. I had to change the way I think. I would feel guilty about things I shouldn't even feel guilty about. But I did because of what was put into me, what I had been taught. And so you need to understand, as God wants to change things in people's lives, but the number one thing he has to be able to do is change people's minds. He can't change the way you think. You know, it's like Mike said, this guy, he meets a guy, just from the standpoint, this guy thinks that God is the one that's making people sick. Well, I mean, if God's making people sick, then Jesus Christ's ministry was the biggest fraud on the face of the earth. Going around healing. The Bible says he healed all who were oppressed of the devil. Then what's his business? Why didn't he heal somebody who's oppressed of God? You see, but the church, I mean, these things are right there written in the book. As a baby Christian, I read those things and realized that they had taught me wrong. But I run into Christians all the time that have been Christians for 50 years and still believe the nonsense because they never read the book. They keep listening to what some man says. And Kenneth Hagin told all of his students, he used to say it all the time, if I tell you something and the book don't say it, just forget it. It has to be what the book says, folks. And lots of things. I found out that at all times in stories that we were told as kids when I was in church as a kid. Lots of the Bible stories were told incorrectly. I went over and began to read just what they told us about David and stuff and found out that, my God, they made up a lot of stuff. They told us. And they never really got the meaning of what God was doing. And they left people with the idea, and they left you as a kid with the idea, yeah, God made these certain guys great, but you, what's going to ever happen to you? You know, you might never be amount to hill of beans because that's his plan for you. He just makes some people great, and we can read about them and cheer. But, you know, here we are today. I mean, they had great moves of God, but we're not supposed to have that today. You know, the miracles are all gone. Well, if the miracles are all gone, that means God's not here. There's never been a place, a time in history that God's been present that there aren't manifestations of the glory of God. If there's no manifestations of the glory of God, then it means this, God is not there. And so we got to change the way we think. Now, the Lord had me, and I can't go back over. Last week we looked at this thing. In this scripture, I've said this before, that this 3 John, the second verse, this is really not written to everybody. And what do I mean by that? Is if we read it, and I can't go back and do all the teaching, this was written to a guy named Gaius. And John's saying that he wanted this man to prosper and be in health. We found out why he wanted him to prosper and be in health. We find that there's another gentleman who was mentioned in this same letter that he wasn't praying for him to prosper and be in health. So in other words, there's qualifications to things. And if you meet the qualifications. Now, Gaius met the qualifications. And the reason he met the qualifications was because Gaius' interest in furthering the gospel and helping others further the gospel. And in helping other people along that were ministering and preaching. And Gaius was doing that. And see, this is one of the things that we're talking about. If we want to prosper, so we find one of the things of Gaius, about Gaius, John said one thing he was excited about Gaius because Gaius walked in the truth. You need to understand this. You need to know what the truth is, not what somebody told you the truth is. You need to know what the truth is. See, it's just like what I said. When I was a kid, we were told a lot of things about the Bible and found out it wasn't even in there. So this I found out. I didn't know a lot about the truth. See, just because you sit in a church don't mean you know anything about truth. You have to make sure. You know, how do we verify truth? Just because somebody said it was the truth? Thank God I have the Bible that I can go to verify things. You know, the principles are laid out in the Bible so I can find out. And look, the Bible, to me, that's the most reassuring thing is the fact that we have something to measure things against. If you don't have that, it's like today. Most churches are all their own yardstick. They're their own yardstick. They determine whether what they want to believe. The Bible's not the measure. It's they determine. Well, this is what we believe in. Well, I really don't care much what Ed believes in if it ain't in line with the Bible. Because it's based on the truth. And John said he was excited because Gaius, this one, he said, was walking in the truth. He said, other brethren even know it, told me. You're walking in the truth, and he was excited about it. So Gaius had qualifications to follow God. And one of the things we wanted to do, the Lord began to speak to me to teach on the areas concerning prosperity and health. Because just because God would want people to have it doesn't mean they're going to have it. It's just like salvation. God wants everybody to be born again. Is everybody born again? They're not. People have to come to in light and walk in the light of the truth. They have to respond to the truth. And this is really an important thing. And especially when we get over, we're talking, and really first here talking about the areas of prosperity. And I want you to understand this because I made mention about this. And when we deal with the subject of prosperity, there's two ditches that the majority of people live in when it comes to talking in the church world, talking about prosperity. There's two major ditches. And the one ditch is over here on the side where, you know, God don't want you to have too much. And I say, man, see, I was born and raised in that one there. You know, if you got too rich or you had too nice of a car or you wore too bright of a color suit or a shirt or something, you might have been going to hell. You know, they didn't know. They didn't like, if you were too rich, you know, that God really don't want people rich and all that kind of stuff. They'll say that God doesn't want people. And they'll use a scriptures from the Bible. And most every time it's used out of context to make their point. Then you have the people on the other side that have gotten into extremes where they're over into covetousness. And they're over there and their whole thing is God wants me rich. And it's all a lot of self-centered, selfish stuff, and it's not right. But let me tell you, there's a middle of the road, and there's a middle of the road to walk in blessing. And this is the place you want to walk. Because if you walk on either one of those other sides, you're going to have a problem with the devil in your life. You're going to have a problem over with the things. You're going to open doors. You get over on that side of covetousness, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to open the door to the devil to a lot of things you wish you'd have never opened your mind. And I've watched people do it already. I've watched people go to that place. On the other side, you get over there, and it's the same thing. They get over there, and after a while, their little righteousness by work stuff comes in and comes into play, you know. I'm more holy than you and all this kind of junk because I don't do this or I don't do that. And then you go to that camp. But we need to understand, one of the things that the Lord wants me to bring out in this is teaching in these areas is of understanding, because the Bible talks about both sides. The Bible talks and makes mentions about the problems with too much money, the problems you could face. It also, the Bible teaches on the other side of the other side of it is God wants to bless you. God wants to do stuff. So you have this, you have the both sides. We have to know how they fit. Either people preach one side or the other. Even a lot of people that, you know, that I consider good ministers don't preach both sides of the thing. There's, you know, if they want to preach prosperity, they stay completely away from the other side, which is not good. There's one of the things that I was always cautious. Once I understood what the scripture said about blessing and about being blessed and financially, God wanted to bless you, I understood that He did. But I was very cautious in the area. One of the things Michael talked about, you know, being led by the Spirit of God. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. And also, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, you must know your own spirit, what you believe and what you don't believe. And there's one thing that I was always in my own spirit. I was always cautious in the areas about finances because I watch things with people. And over the years, I've always been an observer of other people. You know, people say a lot of things, but I always watch what they do, because what they do is much more important than what they say. Because what they do is really what they believe. Oh, people talk Christianity sweetly, but don't live it very sweetly. It's what we do. And I watch people, and I watch this over the years, that people that came in and began to understand things about God's idea to bless people and God's idea to do things and what He wanted to do, I watched many people come along, and not everybody, but I watched many people come along. Once they started prospering financially, they stayed less acquainted with God. They became more to follow the finances. And as soon as things in their life worked out well, they got money, you saw them in church less. And then they were buying their motor homes and all their stuff, and they're out on the road and they're all doing their thing. But God is not part of the scene anymore. You know, they think because they send their checks every once in a while that they're doing something really spiritual. And what happens? They're really following a fleshly lifestyle. I've learned this over the years. If you don't grow spiritually and you have money, you're going to follow the money. You're not going to follow God. I have never met somebody who has a lot of money, who's not very spiritual, who follows God. Never. I've never met one. They'll always follow the money. The money will always have the last say. And there's a place, and see, I was always very cautious in that area. I was very cautious, and the reason I was cautious, I wanted to know how to balance my walk, where I could prosper in a bigger way, but not get out there where it turns around where you're following the stuff. You got to follow the things. Most people are going to follow the things. It's because they don't develop spiritually. Your number one thing in your life should be the most important is your spiritual walk with God, your walk with God, and not about stuff around you. It can't be number one agenda. I've always put it over in the area that my walk and my relationship with God is number one on the table. Nothing, nobody in the family, not even my wife, stands above that. Nobody. Because I learned over the years, if you put anything else up front in front, it's going to cost you somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, you're going to pay a price. I found out it does better for my wife and I's relationship if Ed stays closer to God than if Ed don't. It's going to be better. I've never met two people that just try to put their relationship ahead of time. It never works out. Because this is what's going to happen to you. You move away from your relationship with God, you're going to be more carnal. And I'll tell you what, carnal don't do well in a marriage. Carnal don't do well in a marriage. Folks, that's good preaching anyhow. But God wants to prosper us. Now, I can't go back over all the things that we were teaching before, but we want to look at some things. There's a balance. Now, let me say this to you, and the Lord told me to express this to you. Because, see, many people in listening to Scriptures, sometimes people say, well, they feel condemned or something. They hear this or they hear that. You need to understand this, because I'm going to say things. If you don't watch it yourself, your condemnation comes from you, and it ain't from God, it ain't from the devil. It's your problem. You got to learn to listen to things for the benefit of what they're taught, and quit trying to use it as a measure just to judge yourself into right or wrong. If you do that, you're a problem. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly about it. I'm just telling you, you're a problem. You know, we'd send a kid to school to learn how to add and subtract. If they sit there and the teacher told them how they do it, they'd say, oh, man, I've been dumb. I never learned how to do this. And they would sit there. This, somehow with the Bible, this is what Christians do. Instead of getting their problems fixed, they just keep living with them. And they're the problem, and they blame everybody else and everything else. And condemnation, most of the time people dealing with condemnation are dealing with themselves. They're the condemner. They condemn themselves and blame somebody else for it. That's your problem. You know, you did. I don't want to do this. Because look, it's a total impossibility. No matter how, the Bible tells this, we're supposed to speak the truth in love. I can tell you, I can stand up, and I'm going to, if anybody, one of the jobs of a minister is, the Bible says, is to rebuke. Now, how could I do that if it's supposed to just make you feel wonderful all the time? This is the way the church world does today. If you want to have a church today, you don't ever rebuke, because you don't want anybody to feel, oh my words, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets participation trophies, dear God. Killed our society doing this miserable, stupid stuff. God don't give you a trophy for participating. If you don't run the race, you don't get the trophy. That's God. Christianity should never have any of that mentioned as it being any kind of love toward anyone. If I leave you with the idea that you're going to end up with what I get for walking with God and you don't, I'd be the biggest liar on the face of the earth. That ain't going to happen. I learned a long time ago, if I wanted what somebody else got, I had to walk what they walked. I had to do what they did to get it. You know, you don't get to become a doctor. Well, I ain't going to go to medical school. I'm going to be a doctor anyhow. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to be, you know. We have the biggest lies in our society. We live in a world of lies, and ain't nothing but lies. And because people live in this lie world, when they hear truth, it feels judgmental to them. It's judgmental. It's making me feel bad. I'm not supposed to feel bad. If you're doing wrong, you're supposed to feel bad. Dear God, don't do wrong. And if you feel okay, you'll never quit doing it. Dear God. That's why I used to spank my kids. I didn't want them feeling good about what they did. It's hard to preach the truth in our nation today. It's hard to preach it because the church is so messed up. People have accepted what the world has said as being true. And everybody's trying to feel good. If you can live in this world and feel good all the time, you're nuts or on drugs or something. You're not going to feel good about things that are going on. This feel-good thing amounts to nothing. Hallelujah. I thank God I can live in peace and with joy and don't have to feel good about stuff. Hallelujah. Nutty stuff can go on and I can still live me and God at peace with one another. Hallelujah. And all kind of crazy stuff going on. I don't have to go crazy and do the dumb things with the rest of them. To me, that's the most wonderful thing. Hallelujah. And my feelings don't drive me just because I don't feel good about it. So then I'm going to act nutty like the rest of them. Hallelujah. I don't have to do that. And that's glorious. But when we teach these things, we need to understand, if you don't listen to things correctly in teaching, and what happens is, Kenneth Hagin even said, like in the areas with finances, when you go over and teach what the Bible says about finances, how God wants to prosper you, but you also preach the cautionary side, people have a tendency to flow to one side or the other instead of the middle of the road. And it ain't because of bad teachers, it's because of bad listeners. People don't listen right. People either get over it. And what happens is, like he said, we teach prosperity and people to prosper, and then we would teach them over the cautionary things about it. And he said, what happens? And people wouldn't use their faith as much as they could to prosper as far as they could. He said, on the other hand, we don't preach a cautionary side. Then he said, people go over and get in the ditch on this side and become covetousness. They get covetous. And you know what? Who's guilty of that? It ain't the preachers. It's the people. That's why I'm telling you, if you can't be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. You've got to be able to listen on the inside. Because I'll tell you what, you get over in your little mind things and your mind games and all that kind of stuff. Get over to the inside and listen. And see, we're going to talk, because I have to talk about both sides. We're coming into a move of God. There's been things, and you need to understand this. God has shifted things in our nation with our government. The next great shift is going to be the church. There's going to be a shake-up of things in the church. And I'll tell you what, understand this. The division in our nation has not been caused by man. It's been caused by God. God wants the division in our nation. All these people go, now we got to unify together. I'm sorry, I ain't unifying with people who believe all kind of crazy things. I cannot unify with people who believe homosexuality is all right. I don't hate homosexuals, but I ain't saying it's okay. The Bible, clearly, I can read you the scriptures. Apostle Paul seemed to think it wasn't right. Paul called it sin. Oh, my God. He called adultery, fornication, sin. Dear Lord. But see, we have these things. But, you know, we're living in a society today, and we want to have all these things put together. I'm going to tell you, God's not going to bring unity to the church. There's some he's going to throw out. But there's a reason division. There's a reason for division, folks. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. They don't write many songs about this to worship by. You don't find many of them in it, you know, because that's the Bible. And he said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. To divide. Oh. Didn't know God did that. We thought all he was is a barefooted dude carrying his sheep around going, ah, oh yeah, I'm just a nice, I'm so darn cute. That's all he did. The church world has only seen one characteristic of Jesus' life and made that the whole Jesus, and it's not. That's why preachers don't preach the book of Revelation. They don't like that Jesus that comes on the white horse and kills everybody who don't follow him. That's the Bible. We have no reason to believe in the love of God at all if that's not true. It's in the same Bible. But the church has picked and chosen what they want and the Jesus they want. The Jesus image today that's preached by most of the church is a false Jesus, not even the real Jesus Christ. They preach their little facsimile that fits what they feel they want to have it, you know, or want it to be. Folks, we have to stop this. Or you know what we'll do? The glory of God will begin to move and we'll oppose it. It's happened in every great revival that's ever taken place. A lot of the mainstream church opposes it. I ain't going to be an opposer of the move of God. I'm not going to be an opposer. I watched it. I got to go through some revivals in my lifetime as a young kid, seeing the healing revivals of the 50s and watched the opposition to the move of God. I got to see when I came in the kingdom during the charismatic renewal, and I watched that. I watched the Spirit-filled churches. I watched among the Pentecostals and the Assembly of God churches fighting against the move of the Spirit of God because, well, you know, if this was really God, God wouldn't fill a Catholic with a Holy Ghost or a Presbyterian. While if he was moving, he'd be doing it in our church. Well, he couldn't do it in our church because of all their unbelief. He couldn't do it in their places because they were fighting what he was doing. They didn't like it because somebody wasn't as spiritual as they thought somebody should be, and they weren't near as spiritual as the people were as they were criticizing. The people that they were criticizing were hungry for something from God, and they thought they had it all. And I watched it, and I was saying to Chris, but you have to watch what you get into. Well, God, it can't move over there and there. God will go move over in some place. It's like Brother Hagin said, if there's hungry hearts, God's going to show up where the hungry hearts are. Do you have a hungry heart, or do you think you arrived? You think you're all right? I don't know if I ever get all right. I don't know. I'm always in a search to find. I'm always in a search to know. I always want to, I'll tell you, I don't never came to the place where I thought I knew it all. I just can't, my words. Like I've said, every time God gives me a new revelation, it just gives me more questions. It's like, oh, well, that there was really good, God, but now what about this? So we want to look at things. God wants to bring us to a place where we walk in a balance of things and we don't get trapped. God doesn't want you trapped. God wants you, if you're going to prosper, God wants you to enjoy it and be blessed. But we need to know what and understand what the purposes are. You know, I'm not going to go over to read it, but when God took Abraham and God sent Abraham and told him to go into this land, he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to bless you. The whole purpose of blessing him was to make him a blessing. Many people who have money are not a blessing. Most people in America who have money are not a blessing. They're in a bless me club. They live in this place where their wealth blesses them. And they're still trying to get more. And they're still trying to get more and figuring out how we can just get more so I can have more. The more blessing they give, the more they spend upon themselves to trying to consume on their own lust to keep themselves happy. Without spirituality, that's what it becomes. Without spirituality, that's what people do. People are trying to be happy. Really, in the eyes of God, let me say this, the eyes of God, a person who is wealthy, who is spending their money just to consume and own their lust, is no better than the drug addict to God. Because the purpose of what they both do is identical. They're both trying to have fun and can't. You know why I took drugs? When I was a druggie, I took drugs because I was a very unhappy person, sober. And you didn't want to meet me sober. I'm going to tell you what. You think bad people around on drugs, there's a lot of them would be worse if they sobered up. Because if you don't have something for them to calm them down, you need to understand. I was the nice guy when I was drinking and drugging. I was the mean guy when I was sober. When I was sober, I wanted to punch you. Man, woman, or child, I wanted to punch you. I didn't like your face. I just didn't like you because you breathed. You know what all that was? It's because I hated me. I had no peace in life. I had nothing. I knew I was on death row. I knew it. I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know. And I came to Jesus. That changed it all. That changed everything. I understand why people drink and drug. I know why they do it. They're trying to have fun. There's a lot of Christians that are trying to do this. They're trying to have fun with Jesus. Instead, they don't, but they never learn the truth, so they ever walk into peace and joy alive. So they're just walking along limping and faking it. They're faking this thing. But they would sure, many of them, let's go down to the bar with the world and have a drink because they'd like to have one because, wow, they're having a hard time taking it. They're having a hard time facing the problems that they're dealing with. And we need to understand, we're living in a world of people, and they're trying to find satisfaction. And in the church world, I find Christians in the same way. They're always trying to find satisfaction. They don't have it. Yet it was given to them, but they don't have it. It was given to them by God, but they haven't learned enough about God, or they've been religiously taught. They don't know how to arrive there. They don't know how to walk in peace when there's trouble at the door. All they can do is focus on the trouble at the door. They don't can't lay down their head at night. How many Christians can't lay their head down at night and go to sleep? There's worries, there's problems, and all kinds of things that they can't sleep at night. The Bible says God gives his beloved rest. When I go to bed, I don't care what's been going on. It's sawing logs. Because I want you, if you can't sleep, tomorrow night's going to be worse. And if you can't sleep tomorrow night, the next night's getting worse. It never gets better. Never. See, you want to come to that place that what God's given you is yours and you can walk in it. You want to do that. Or what? We end up no better off than the world. You know, I don't want to be the person who wakes up, well, I don't drink coffee, but you know, people say coffee, or whether it's tea, I drink tea. You know, I can't get going in the morning unless I have my coffee or my tea. I don't even want to think like that. That a beverage, I have to have that, or I can't get going in the morning. I'm going to tell you what, you got a crutch, and it ain't a good one. Could you imagine that a cup of coffee holds you to whether you're going to have a good day or not? Or a cup of tea? Dear God, get a life, folks. Don't tell me how wonderful life is and that is, because I'm going to tell you, if that bugs you, what happens when a real problem comes? Folks, this is good preaching. I'm meddling good. And if you feel condemnation, that's your problem. Best thing it is, I listened to this stuff preached to me and just said, you know, Ed, you need to change, you idiot. And I didn't blame it on nobody else. I didn't say, well, the preacher said and he made me feel bad. See, man, I'm just glad somebody told me how stupid I was. I was too just glad to find out I was an idiot, and so I didn't have to live the rest of my life that way. I thought, you know, my God, I'm just dumb, and we're stuck with Ed this way. Hallelujah. I found out I didn't have to be stuck that way, and you don't either. Hallelujah. I would like to preach by my notes, but God ain't going there this morning. Hallelujah. We're just meddling. But we need to know this. But this is the whole thing of coming in out of these extremes on the side and coming back to this thing in life where we can live free, where we don't have things that bind us, that hold us, and little things that we think are such big things in life that amount to nothing. Because the little things are big to you, then big things, you'll never get a hold of them and they'll destroy you. You'll never get over the mountains of the big stuff. It'll never happen. You know, if I would have a cup of coffee to start my day. I mean, you think, you know, if you really think about that, that's a stupid statement. That, in other words, you know what, I tell you what, in the morning I get up, what I really need is some heroin. And so I can't start my day. I mean, now if somebody say that and you say, oh, how could you say such a thing? Well, it doesn't matter. I know people didn't have their cup of coffee and they are literally miserable. And you know what they're miserable about? It ain't the caffeine. It's just because they're miserable, they didn't get what they wanted. I know what it is. Is they're just miserable. I didn't get my flesh petted this morning, and I need it petted now. I didn't get what I want. Dear God, that was my whole life. That's why I was so miserable. I thought life was just supposed to pet Ed. Glory to God. Then somebody put down the hammer, his name was God, and told me that life isn't all about Ed. When God taught me that my life was about blessing others, my life was about putting something into somebody else. The call of God on my life ain't for me at all. It's not for me. The gift of God that works in me to teach and minister the word is not for Ed at all. Now, Ed learns things through it and that stuff. Fine. But it's for other people. God has not gifted you for you. I want you to understand that. All these people say, use your talents in life. You use your talents and then we'll have to put up with you. You don't use your talents. Use what God's given you. God's given you and you'll end up blessing other people. There's people who have learned. I've watched businessmen that have learned that stuff. They've learned that God's given them the skill in the areas of business and they produce money and do things and are a great blessing to other people. They understand that. They understand that the wealth in life isn't about just giving them something better. They understand they have a place and a position in life to improve things for other people. You know, one of the things that you need to understand, if you ever study the history of revival, there's never been any great revival in the world, and you follow history, there's never been any great revivals that hasn't brought material blessings to people. And all kind of inventions came out during the times of those revivals that changed people's lives. You go back to the revivals of the Dark Ages ended, and there was a guy named Martin Luther who was a Catholic priest, got a revelation of what salvation really was. The world was almost darkened to salvation for a period of time. And he found out salvation was by faith. And when people responded to that, out of that came all the revolution of the things in Germany at that time. He was a German. He was a priest in Germany. Came out the printing press, optics, all that stuff. Up until that time, Europe was a place of dark. Europe lived worse for a number of centuries, lived worse than they did many centuries before, were living on a higher level than they were. When people got over and got religious and started following a lot of stupid religion, and what religion did in the Dark Ages, religion stopped the creativity of God working in man. The creativity of God working in people comes, the new birth. That's one thing the new birth brings into people. The new birth can change a human's intelligence. It changed my intelligence. When I got born, I don't know about the new birth. You see, I believe you get out of the new birth what's preached to you. If you're preached God just saved you and saved you from hell and that's it and you're just going to heaven, that's a good thing. But the new birth gives us something else. The Bible says it gives us the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I don't think Jesus is sitting around trying to figure things out and wondering how things are going. And boy, am I going to be bright enough to do this or can I be smart enough to do that? When I found out I had the mind of Christ, changed my life. I began to say I had the mind of Christ. I used to think, you know, there's things I couldn't figure out or understand or do, and I used to start to say, my words, I can just do anything now. I can figure it all out. I can figure, because I have the mind of Christ. Well, when I started operating in faith toward it, things started changing. I became a different person mentally. See, today, most people, even in the church world, everybody's trying to live by the natural, but want something supernatural. You got to go over, get out of the natural. You got to get out of that thing, that place over here, as far as my, you know, natural talents will take me. Thank God for some natural talents. But you know, there's nobody ever stood and preached the gospel, did it the way God wanted to it, did it with natural talent. If you ain't anointed and operating in the gift, it's just you blowing wind and saying stuff that ain't going to produce nothing. That's what we have. We have churches today and people stand up in front and people go there every Sunday. I mean, if you went to a Lutheran church and they go in there and they say the Apostles' Creed, yet the whole crowd ain't even born again. If they only believed what they were saying in the Apostles' Creed, they could get born again. They don't even believe it. It's just all rote, just a whole thing. It matters to nothing. The whole crowd, most of them say, you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Watch them walk out the door and see how much they follow Jesus. My God. See, it all comes down to these things, folks. That, see, if people don't change, and we're not going to change what we think and the direction we're going and the way we see things, we must. There's a move of God, and this move of God that's coming, we must be able to cooperate with it. We cannot be the self-centered bunch that the church has become. We must become God-centered again. The church must come back to God-centered. Back in the 80s, when I came in 1980 to the kingdom, I'll tell you what, there was a lot more people God-centered. It was a huge help to me as a young Christian coming in when you have people around you who are God-centered. Today, you don't have that. You don't have God-centered people around you. You go out in the world, there ain't many of them out there. People even call themselves Christians are far from God-centered. They're from everything else, the world-centered, and you know, anything else. Because it helps you. You got to come back to God-centered. You have to have that. I don't know any other way to achieve it. I don't know any other way to do this thing. And so we need to have that today. We need to come back to that place where God has the preeminence. Where what Ed thinks or what Ed has said is not the top on the agenda or the top of the list. I have a lot of great ideas that God has turned down. And he's smart because he has greater ideas. And I found out how to be a person of great ideas is listen to God's ideas. That's how you do it. We live in a world where people are so busy and all these things. You know, it's an interesting thing. If you look at our country, and our country started off into things after the Second World War. A lot of invention and stuff and things took place that started in easing the lives of people. And one of the things it is so people could have more time. Well, I watched over the years as people became more godless. They never had time. We're just so busy today. The busyness of people is because of ungodliness. We're always trying to do and achieve things. The whole point of it is we're trying to achieve them without God. And that will consume all your time. It's going to consume all your time to try to achieve without God. It's going to consume your time. Folks, I know what it's like. There's things I've tried to achieve. Not really getting God involved. And I'll tell you what, I've worked at it. I have worked and worked and worked and worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. Oh, yeah, I would bypass Bible study, or I'd bypass prayer. I would bypass seeking God because I got to get this done. Oh, this is important. Oh, it is so important. If those things became so important, then I wasn't seeking God, then I wasn't following after God anymore. I was doing all the important things in life. I was making a living. Ha, making a living. I was doing all those things that you just got to do. And then the demands of people, and people come along, and you got to do this for them, and you're not allowed to say no because you can't hurt their feelings. Believe me, folks, I love the word no. And I can look anybody in the face and say it. And you know what? I don't feel bad at all about it either. I know that. And I know some people, it brings tears to their eyes because you're never supposed to say no to somebody. It hurts their feelings. Oh, we got to do what people want because we got to work to keep them happy. I thank you, God, this. My job ain't to keep any of you happy. When I found that out, Ed became happy. Woo! It's exciting to know that my job's not to keep other people happy. Hallelujah. Because I want to just tell you this. You can't do it anyhow. You know what? I found this out about people in general. You do everything they want and they still don't like you. So, what? You know. We wear ourselves out. We're out here and that stuff. But I found out one thing. I can face any problem or anything. If I stay close to God, the problem comes, I can walk in it. I'm telling you folks the foundation for a prosperous life. If you live in this other way, if you get money, you're just going to have another problem in your life because you're going to try to use the money to keep you happy. And you're going to be no different than the drug addict. Because you're going to have all the same problems. It's just like with me. I used drugs and I used alcohol. I was an alcoholic and a drugger. And I used to do that stuff. But you know what? The problems of what was wrong with Ed were all still there. They mask. Money can mask a lot of problems, and it does today. Money masks a lot of people's things that they don't face. I can go do something. I can spend some money and do this, entertain myself. Then I don't have to think about what an idiot I am. Because when I'm out there doing that, I'm feeling good at the time. And I don't have to stop and say, you know, Ed, you're a jerk. Why don't you go deal with that problem in your life? No, let's just go spend some more money. Because I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I might have to deal with me. I might have to say, I'm wrong. Gee. What a hurtful thing. What's this? Do this. Say you're wrong before everybody else tells you you are. Because believe me this, everybody else knows. Your mess up in your life, everybody knows it. You listen to the devil and yourself and make you think you got it hidden, everybody knows. I was an idiot and everybody knew it. I thought if I did some drugs and stuff, they wouldn't know it. All it did was amplify the idiot. It amplified the idiot. But all kind of people don't know that all the time. I've over the years as pastor, and somebody come along and tell me a certain problem they have, and I'll tell them, I know. Well, who told you? It's just like nobody could see and figure it out. Just like it was hidden. Say, dear God. Nobody had to tell me, but if we stood everybody up in the church and asked everybody honestly if they knew what was going on, I'd tell you 95% of people to raise their hands and say, no. You can never change your life till you find out you're the problem. It isn't other people. It isn't other stuff. I found out this in my life. When it changed, my life changed. Most of the people I was around didn't change at all. And all the stuff I used to blame on everybody else, it was just Ed being an idiot. And when I found that out, it's how I viewed things. It's how I dealt with things. It's what I did. You can't stop people from not liking you. You can do it. Look, Jesus Christ was perfect and they crucified him. You ain't going to get good enough that everybody's going to tell you you're sweet. So forget it. You have to get over these things. Because if you have that need that people have to pet you, you got a serious problem. Because you will never be happy in life. And I found out, the people that aren't happy, people dislike the most. How many of you like to be around people who are unhappy all the time and always griping about somebody else, what they did? And isn't that, aren't they fun to hang around? Aren't they great to be around? I was a great treasure in life. You would have just loved to have been with me. I tell you what, I could have. People don't get it. People don't understand that. You know. My wife's aunt. Hon, did you read the thing she put inside that card? Isn't that? Oh, you should have read that. It's awesome. She put this thing inside of her card. She sent us a Christmas card, her aunt, which she's in her 90s, you know. She sent this Christmas card. And the thing she put inside, it's a little thing about what she didn't want to become as she became old. And really, the whole thing was about it, just being a pain to people and stuff and doing things that, you know, made people not want to be sitting complaining about her problems, her health, and all that kind of stuff, which you don't want to do. Why? Because it drives people away. Telling people about all our problems doesn't change our problems, if you haven't noticed that. Oh, we could go to a psychiatrist and he'll get a whole room full of people and we all sit, discuss our problem and everybody feels better. Yeah, to the next meeting they need to go to so they have a place to complain again. It doesn't solve anybody's problems. To hear 20 other people say they still haven't got, after 10 years, got over the death of their child, and they still ain't got over it, and I have to listen to people keep telling me that. What? How am I going to get over the death of my child? This is called wisdom. They make people doctors to do this stuff to people today, and people pay for it. Dear God! I'd rather send them to a bar and buy them a drink. Dear Lord, at least they might forget for a day. We got this idiocy out here. It's all on the bed. These are the geniuses. These are the geniuses. I was just amazed when Ed got into the Bible and started finding out the Word of God. It changed me. The Word is the incorruptible seed, it says. It's incorruptible. The Word of God got into me and it became what James says is a mirror that you look into. Man, when I looked in the mirror, I didn't like the guy. The Bible will make you, the true preaching of the Word will make a mirror that you have to look in and see you. And that's why the gospel is hated today in American churches, because you don't preach it, it makes people uncomfortable to see who they are. You know what? If you'll listen to the gospel and listen, after a while you'll look in the mirror and say, look what it made me into. Glory to God. Look what it did! Instead of, oh no, I see problems. I want to find some place where they'll preach to me and tell me I'm good and I get the trophy whether I do good or not. I want to go there. Let's go to the place where they'll pat me and tell me I'm wonderful when really everybody hates to be around me because I'm such a misery. But they're all walking in love. Love is to lie to people and tell them you like them when you don't. That's love. We don't want to live under this falseness. You don't want to live under these things. These things destroy people's lives, and it's coming back to the truth. You know, I had two truths in my life as a young boy. It was my parents. It was mom and dad. They were the truth people. And they would bring you in line to it. And they would bring you in line to things that were true. What they would tell you and you didn't do, you were visited. But number one, they were keeping order in a home. We had, you know, there was nine kids. My oldest brothers and sisters were, my oldest sister was married when I got born, when I was born and stuff and things. But we always had a lot of people, you know, in the house and that kind of stuff. But they kept order in that house and it made it a place to live that was civil and a place to go. If you didn't perform well, there wasn't any trophies on the wall for you. There was marks on your butt. And that was, my parents hate me. Our parents didn't beat us a bunch. But there's one thing about it. You didn't obey, you were going to get one. You didn't make the house hell to live in. My children didn't make my house hell to live in. I know how to send them to Jesus, get them off the face of the earth. You see, people today, what people put up, we need to, if you don't understand these things, you don't get them. You're not going to have that place where you're going to have a life of prosperity, because you might get money, but your life will never really prosper. Your life may be a place of hard times to live in. Bad marriages, bad relationships in your family, bad stuff going on, stuff happening, because you're trying to deal with the stuff like the world deals with it. This is all about prosperity, folks. Prosperity ain't just about money. John Paul Getty said this. Now, here's a guy in his days. I forget how many millions he had today. He would probably be the richest man in the world today and what money was worth back in his day. $1 million back in his day would buy what you do for $1 billion today. John Paul Getty said this. I would give, let's just say, what a sad, this is a sad commentary on a man at the end of his life. He said, I would give all my wealth and everything that I had just to have a good marriage. He was married a few times. Nothing ever worked. Can you imagine that? Gee, wealth make a good life for him? No. What was his life? Here's one thing. You're not going to come to the end of the road in your life and say, you know, I'm just glad I spent so much time trying to get money. I'm just so glad I spent a lot of time doing that. Everybody comes at the end of their life with the regrets of the things that they know they should have done that they didn't do. I don't want to end my life in that way. You're not going to stand before Jesus Christ and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, when you left this earth knowing that you didn't do the things that were in your heart to do. You're not going to hear that. That statement won't be said. The guy that says, oh, I wish I'd have just followed God. I wish I'd have done more of this. I wish I would have helped, you know, the orphanage down here at this place a little bit more. I wish I'd have done that. See, folks, living a good life. And there's one thing that's actually, my parents didn't know numbers of things spiritually about stuff. The churches they went to. My parents came out of plain churches. They were focused a lot on clothing and stuff. But you know, they had a heart for God. But there's one thing, as I can say for my parents. My parents were very immoral lives. They lived lives that were really to be good, to be blessing to other people. They did that. I think was one of the greatest high achievements ever done. Because most people don't do that today anymore. My parents were a blessing. They put some good things before me. They were a blessing. My dad would sometimes, a person would get into problems, have problems that he'd know of. My dad never said a thing I made do. He'd go down and pay a bill for somebody they didn't even know was even done. My dad would never say a thing about it. He'd never tell anybody that was being done. Sometimes we'd find out years later something dad did or something this and that. But my dad would just go down and pay the bill. And I want you to understand, my dad never earned any big money. But I'll tell you, if he saw that something needed help and done, he didn't look to what he could do or what his life was. It's a wonderful thing. I looked at my parents because their last days on earth, God blessed them so much. It was amazing. They lived at their last days like they had some kind of really good incomes before they quit work. Because God just blessed them. God just did things and they had all kinds of stuff. My words. My parents wouldn't even spend their Social Security checks. My God, they would contact them and tell them they were sending them checks. They'd say, you didn't cash your checks. You got to cash them. These are people that didn't make much money in life. But just doing what's right, God blessed and God blessed and God blessed and God blessed. At the end, when it's all over and done, This guy that didn't earn very much money in life had money to give an inheritance to all his kids. Amazing. Amazing. My father, one of the most wonderful things about him in life was this. My father didn't worry about nothing. You could have told him tomorrow they're going to drop an atomic bomb. He would have lived just like he would have kept doing the same things and blessing and doing whatever. He wasn't going to worry. He'd have went to bed and went to sleep. We'll get up in the morning and see the bomb. Hallelujah! To have somebody, man, today? Dear Lord! But you know, to have that kind of stability of somebody around you, children don't have that today. Children don't have that stability today. We had that. Thank God. And see, I don't know about you. I want to pass things like that on. Isn't that what we want to pass on? We don't want to pass on. Today, the church passes on the worries of the world. We should be the last ones worried about what's going on out here. I ain't worried about none of it. God can't take care of me in this thing. He's the biggest liar who ever was on the face of the earth. He ain't God like he says he was. He has to take care of me. He said so in the book. I'm believing him for it. And if he don't, I'll tell him to his face one day when I get to see him. I'll tell him, you know, you lied in the book. You said you'd do this and you didn't. Well, wouldn't that be honest? I thought he's a God of truth. But see, Christians have held him up to be a liar. He put all these nice statements in the book, but he ain't going to really do it. They're just nice. They're trying to make us feel good while we go under. They're not there for us. They're for us to go over. We can trust him in this day and time. We can trust that he'll take care of us. It doesn't matter. We don't have to fear the economy of this world, of what's going to happen. Sure, things may affect us, but I'm going to tell you, I'm getting lunch every day. If he has to get ravens and haul it from your house to mine, he'll do it. But he's going to take care of Ed. You might sit and complain because the ravens are taking it off your table. You ought to join in with and shout to God that you're being a blessing to somebody. You know? Dear Lord, you probably end up with more. But God will take care of us. And you've got to come on with it. Let's lose this thing. Let's come back to this place of this peace and joy and comfort in life. You go out here in life, we do what we can. We work and do what we can. I can't do everything. I'm not going to get so busy that I lose my life. That I don't have a life anymore. It's just a work thing that I'm just, and I even hate doing that. See, I found out, when I get away from things, I even hate doing what I love to do. That's what it does to you. The things that you're supposed to enjoy in life, you don't even enjoy anymore. And I want to be at the place where I enjoy those things. I want to be at those place where I walk the things that I know in life that I have to do, that they're a pleasure to me. I want to maintain that. Hallelujah. I want to be the guy that is more blessed to give than receive. I'm going to always be that dude. Hallelujah. I'm excited about giving. Thank God, receiving ain't nothing. It's being able to give. Hallelujah. It's being able to turn yourself away from looking at you. I always, you know, that was the most amazing, astounding thing that ever happened to me when I got born again. The thing that shocked me the most, I was a taker in life. I was always self-centered, like you were too, so, you know, don't look at it and say, that bad guy, how do you do that? No, you are too. You might sit there and think, well, you're self-centered. If you don't see yourself, you were self-centered, then you definitely were. I was self-centered. I was always trying to keep me happy and doing that. And I saw that my need was definitely greater than anybody else's. And so, you know, you didn't give to people, you know? No, it was everybody's job to take care of me. That was their job, didn't you know? That was my employer's job too. I go to work, you try to keep Ed happy. You know, you try to keep Ed happy there. That was my employer's job. And if everything didn't go, they didn't do everything the way I wanted or the way I thought, they're messed up. Well, you got, and you know, sometimes they were messed up, but I was messed up because I let it eat at my life. But when I got born again, the most wild thing that ever happened to me was I got born again. I knew there was a change in me. I didn't have one of these things when I accepted Jesus. People say, oh, they had this great weight taken off of them. Maybe it did. I don't know. I didn't have that happen. I just knew I made the right decision. But I started seeing things about my life that were just really, I just couldn't explain. Is number one, I got this desire to give stuff away and to give money to things. To me, that was the most, what on earth? I'm having this desire to give money. It's like, to give stuff. I never had anything. I never had it like that before. To me, that was it. Now, I know what it is today. That was called the love of God. People who have trouble in the areas of giving, let me tell you what they have trouble with. Walking in love. The rest out is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world he gave. Therefore, if the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, what is the outcome? Being a giver. I can always tell this. People who have trouble in the areas of giving don't walk in love. If you're a Christian, it means love of God can be shed across broaden your heart, but that ain't what you follow. I noticed that within myself right away. I wanted to help somebody else. To me, this was a real shocker. Maybe to you it wasn't as much of a shock, but to me, that was a real shock. It had the desire. I remember telling Wanda we wanted to start giving. I was wanting to start giving to ministry. Now, this was incredible because, you know, my lifestyle was such that you didn't have a lot of money left over when I was saved. And I remember telling her, wanting to give money away, and how are we going to do that? You know, we're just trying to get bills paid. And well, I just think we ought to give something to somebody. I just think we ought to do this. And she's looking at me like, you know, send him out to Phil Haven, give him some drugs. He'll get over it. I think that's some of the people they got out there. They turn around, the love of God come up in their heart. Now they think they're crazy, and so they believe it. And they go out there and get some drugs so they quit doing the will of God. You know, say, don't want to. Because they'll think you're an absolute idiot if you want to do the will of God. You belong, something wrong with you. And I had that desire. But it didn't make any sense. My desire was to give money when really we didn't have enough. What God was trying to do is bless my life. He wanted me to start on this road. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give into your bosom. That's what he wanted to set on the road. We found over the years of following that. You follow love, you're going to be a giver. You're going to want to bless somebody. You're going to help somebody. You're going to see somebody needs some help, you're going to want to help them. That's just the way, that's what love does. It's being a blessing. It's just the way it operates. To me, it'd be just so strange not to want. If that desire left me, I'd wonder if I'm saved. And see, you want to walk in that. That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. It's more of a blessing to you to walk in that love and do that than any amount of receiving. I never get out of receiving what I get out of giving. You might get some stuff back. Some stuff. It's just stuff. But what you did by operating out of your spirit, the will, you did a spiritual thing. You did something eternal. And you did something that causes eternal reward. All the giving and all the things my wife and I have done over the years, the greatest thing about it isn't what I received in this life. We got reward over the other side. Whee! Because what? We just followed what was in our heart. See, the big bank for it ain't on this side. I believe what Jesus said. You keep laying your money up over here, it gets corrupt. Lay up for things in heaven. I'm going to tell you what, lots of people are laying up for here into this life. But their eternity, the people that look like on the top, I'm just going to tell you, much of it is going to be turned completely upside down in the when it comes to eternal. And the people who have looked like they were on the bottom are going to be the top people for eternity. And the people who look like they were the top are going to be on the bottom for eternity. Heaven is not a socialistic system. Everybody doesn't get the same. You're a principle of the kingdom of God. You're rewarded to what you put into it. The measure that you measure is what you get back. That is a standard of the kingdom. Now, God measures that by what you have. Or what you got. The woman with the two mites in the Bible, She only had 2 copper pennies. Put those things in. And he said she gave more than the rest of them. See, it was measured on what she had. That's why, you know, Mon and I started off, when I look at our giving, my God, we were giving bigger than millionaires give. Yet if you looked at how much we were giving, it didn't look like much. But what we had and we were giving. There's loads of people. Loads of people have a lot more money than Wanda and I, and we'll outgive them all the time. You know, I've learned over the years in church, back years ago, the most wealthy person that was in our church at that time was a person, it was a businessman, was in, and him and his wife and always talking about, oh yeah, you know, trying to play the God thing. Remember Larry White in the wheelchair? Larry White gave more money a year to the church than they did. Loads of people. Go by. Don't matter how people had. See, they were tight, stingy. I'm going to tell you, they get to heaven, ain't going to work out good if they even end up there. Putting everything in their life was into this world, you know. What they would do was live their life out of the business. Anything they wanted to buy themselves, they bought it for the business, and then they used it and say, well, okay, we did. They turned around and bought all kinds of things. They salaried themselves $200, him and his wife, each $200 a week out of the business. Now, they couldn't have lived off of it. They did a lot of cheating and finagling. But they were turning around, so they would tithe out of $400 while they were earning hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Trying to convince me they loved the Lord. Trying to convince me. And I thought, my God. People are, you know, it's almost criminal. One day the guy showed up to me. He wanted to give some money to a person in a church. I mean, what do you know? I've handed people more money than that. And he wanted to give. He wanted to know if we could give it to the church so he could have it to a write-off and we'd give it to the individual. I told him you didn't want to give it anyhow, keep it. Ain't going to do you no good. See, I'm real popular. No, I'm really diplomatic. No, when the devil comes knocking on my door, I treat him like the devil. I'm not going to tell you you're okay if you're a heathen. I'm not going to lie to you. We don't play those games. Why? It's no good for me. It's no good for you. I want somebody else. I mean, God puts in your heart to give something. I don't care if I get a write-off. God give me more back than I get off a write-off. Dear Lord. I mean, you only get a percentage back sometimes in what you give. It don't even amount to hardly anything of what you get back from, you know, when you figure out on your taxes. Sometimes it don't even put you in another tax bracket, so you don't get anything off. You still pay the same amount of taxes. So it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're gonna give based on that, I mean, dear Lord. You know, I mean, when I sit down and look at the end of the year, and if I look at the end of the year and all my wife and I give, and we keep track of stuff, even when we're just handing out, doing things, and it isn't being on taxes. But what could be written off? And I look at those things at the end of the year, and I look at what I get back. Well, my words, my getting back from the government ain't nothing to what I gave. That's what all these new people say. Well, my company I work for, they can do this because they can write it off. It's just as if they write it off and know they never pay any tax. It all comes free. I hope you don't think. Ask anybody here that runs a business. Ask the truckers here. Ask anybody that runs a business. Yeah, you just write it all off and it's all just wonderful and no money out of your pocket. You ain't got the money up front. You ain't writing it off. You know, but all this stupid stuff, and then they listen to these politicians. We got to change the tax code. Because these people out here writing all this stuff off, and they'll say this and go through, and these politicians go through it because they're the liars that operate in the system. And they are, both sides of the aisle, are liars that operate on both sides of the system. I just saw a thing here not long ago, back a few months ago. They listed people who have Democrats and Republicans, and the majority of them, a good 85% of them that are in Congress right now, came into Congress, some of them not earning much money at all, and now are multimillionaires. Serving the people. when people on the outside are not becoming millionaires at the rate that they are, something's wrong. And that's right, they've learned how to manipulate a system and it makes them money. So when they turn around and tell me information, I don't pay much attention to it because I know a liar when I hear one. Usually every time they're going to help me, it costs. So I just say, please don't help Ed. Ed's got all the help he can get. You know, please don't do it anymore. Remember Ronald Reagan made the statement? Ronald Reagan said the most terrifying words a human can hear is, I'm the government, I'm here to help. The wisest president we ever had. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Now, I meddled a lot today, but I'm going to talk for you to understand, folks, this is about prospering in life. If your soul cannot prosper, if you live under the weight and worries of things, and things dominate your life and rule your life, and if you think like the world, if you're walking like the world thinks and the world tells you to do, folks, you need to understand you can't prosper in life. It isn't about just gaining money because, hey, money can be nice to have though, can it? Is there anybody here that doesn't like money at all? If you don't like money at all, we'll have an altar call and I'm going to pray for you because you need help. In our society, it's always good to have some money. You know, it is. It's always nice to have some money, isn't it? And it is nice to have more money than you have coming in than you have going out. Did you notice that? It's number one. Now, let me just say this to you guys. We want to talk about this. One thing the Lord dealt with me about in this area, I'm going to teach some things on this subject the Lord taught me. God wants you to have more coming in than going out. Because if you don't, you can't be a blessing. Nobody's a blessing. I had some people tell me one time, we're running a restaurant that went under, trying to convince me that poor people give more than rich people do. I said, you got to run this and buy me. I got to figure out if they're poor, how can they be given more than a rich guy does? Because, you know, we're doing a lot of supporting these poor people. And if they're giving what they got away, why are we supporting them? God wants you to have your income above what is going out. That's His desire. He doesn't want you to have enough to satisfy your life. He wants you to have enough to satisfy somebody else's life. That's God's plan. And so you need to get in that thinking. All the time I hear Christians say things and I know they believe it's saying something humble, but it's not humble. It's really stupidity. Well, I just want enough to get by. You know, I don't want any of my, I don't want any of this. I'm sorry. They're not thinking about it. God's prosperity is based on the fact that you become a blessing. That's what it's based on. If you don't want to become a blessing, then you have no need of God's prosperity. You have no need of it. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. That's what it says. In other words, if you're not going to do much, it's all about taking care of you. Number one, that's the wrong reason. The Bible tells us this. We're supposed to work so we have to give. It don't say you work to make a living. The purpose of you working is so you have to give. Why? Because God wants to supply to you your living. God wants to supply a living to you. He'll give you above your living wage to where you work or what you do. He's constantly done that for me. When I came into the kingdom, He constantly was doing exceedingly above. He was always working. Once I found out the system, when I understood that working, and I work in labor, so I have some money because I can be a blessing. I can be help. See, it'll change you why you go to work. See, most people go to work for their needs and then they ain't ever happy about it and they're fussing about it and fussing where they work and they're fussing this and fussing that. The whole thing of it is you go to work because it's a blessing to somebody else. It'll change your life. It changed my life. Because I wasn't going and putting up with all those idiots at work just trying to get by. I was going there because I was going to help somebody. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going and doing what I'm doing because God's going to bless other people through me. God's blessing other people. See, it's getting over in this right mind thing about this prosperity thinking. Most of the church, all they got their mind is what prosperity is about, what it does for me. I'll tell you, this is what it'll do for you. You walk in love and you won't have to worry about what prosperity does. Walk in love and love will change your life. You walk in the areas of love and go over the areas and walk in the love of God. Do what's right. Do what's in your spirit to do. Follow it. Hallelujah. Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll keep my words. He didn't say, if you love me, tell me. He's interested in what you're doing. He don't care what you say. If you're saying and doing ain't the same, you blowing wind and he knows it. So what we do is if we're acting in line with the Word, we're walking in love. When you're walking in line with the Word, you're walking in the love of God. Put on the thinking of the Word or leave the pressure off you. My job is not to take care of me in life. When I found out, and we're going to talk about this, in fact, on New Year's Day when we meet, the Lord gave me a message for the church on New Year's, and you're going to find it's going to be along this line. This is number one. Everybody here, we all have family members who are not saved, people we know around us not saved. God's interested in this. But getting in line with this is an area of prosperity. God wants prosperity into our lives. He wants insurity into us concerning our loved ones and things. So one thing is God put that into me when I first got born again, and I will talk about that. But dealing over in those areas, you know, with the things of prosperity and in those areas, God wants us to prosper in all of these areas of our life. If we don't prosper in these areas, money will never satisfy it. You're going to have an eating in you, something going on. If loved ones pass and go off into hell, you're going to have an eating in you. These things can be changed by the Word of God. These things can be changed if people will come and follow the Word of God. But we can't stay in this selfish lifestyle, the church world can't, and come out into the place where we're going to turn around and walk. We have to come to a place and learn to walk in faith. See, this is one of the blessing others. Make me a blessing. Using my faith to help others to come into the kingdom. Using my faith. But you're going to have to get in line with the Word of God. You're going to have to know how to stand and where to stand. God wants to bring people into the kingdom. He wants to bring people into the kingdom. The Bible says this. God said this. He said a man who didn't take care of his own family is worse than an infidel. Now we take that over as, you know, God, turkey, working, spend, you know, with that. But it's not just that. The spiritual side of that too. Taking care of the family spiritually. Much of the church world has been infidels because they don't take care of things spiritually as we want to take care of things spiritually. Hallelujah. If we will walk right and we will stand right is one of the things. I've talked about this and we're going to talk about it in a little more detail. If we will walk right, we're going to be a blessing to other people. But we have a choice. Whether we want to just sort of follow along the Christianity we got, we're just happy with it, or we want to make some supernatural changes, hallelujah, by walking in the Word of God. Because I will tell you, God will make you a blessing. He made me a blessing to my family. My family is coming, my wife and kids. You know, I got born again. They weren't, my children came and followed God. They followed God because God taught me what to do that my children would follow God. And you know what? It depended a lot on me. Now, I want you to understand this. If you want your children to follow God, you're going to have to walk right. You are. God told me. I can prove it scripturally. But you're going to have to walk right. And if you walk right, you know what He's going to do? He's going to honor you. He's going to honor you. He'll honor you. He'll bring people in and your family because He'll honor you. And you can lay your head down at night knowing that that loved one's in His hands. Hallelujah. God's working on it for me. I don't have to lose no sleep. I don't have to worry and wring my hands. I don't have to do these things. Hallelujah. God is working on my behalf and He will honor me. That's what God wants to do. God wants to honor you. Hallelujah. And when we live and we do what He says, we honor Him. Glory to God. Father, Lord God, I know we said a lot of things here today. Sure do stir things up, don't we? Hallelujah. Well, Lord God, I needed some of those things that were said too. So thank you for that. But Lord God, I want to tell you, you're bringing a people into line. Lord, there's going to be a glory revealed. And Lord God, we're going to be part of that glory revealed. Hallelujah. Father God, I know within this group here, Lord God, that you have plans, that you're going to bring people in. And Lord, financially, you're going to really change some things enormously. Lord God and Father, you've seen the heart of these people. You've seen them, Lord God, their willingness, Lord God, concerning their material things. Lord God, how liberally they have shared. And Lord God, their hearts for doing something beyond what we are here. For reaching out, Lord God, to follow your plans and purposes. And Lord God, there's nothing that men do in honoring your word that goes unnoticed. None of it goes unnoticed, Lord God. Father, you have a plan here to honor people. You have a plan to do something, things supernaturally in these last days. That people will be able to follow and walk out your will for their lives, to be a blessing to other people, Lord God. And they're not going to have to sit around and always trying to take care of their self and what's around them. But Father God, you're going to take care of those things for them. You're going to bless their lives, Lord God. That they're going to be able to go and fulfill your will and your purpose for them. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is going to be magnified greatly. Jesus Christ is going to be glorified in a great way. Hallelujah. And Father God, you will honor them. Hallelujah. And you will show them your great salvation. Hallelujah. Lord God, your salvation goes beyond born again because they are born again. Hallelujah. But Lord God, they'll walk in a fullness of the life that you've called them to in this day and hour. Because Lord Jesus, we know you're soon returning. And the word tells us you're coming for a glorious church. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you for a glorious people. Hallelujah. There's going to be a glorious people ready. A glorious people waiting. Hallelujah. Doing your will, walking in it. Lord God, not just saying they love you. Lord God, they'll prove it out through their lives and what they walk and what they do. They will honor you and you will honor them. And Father, I want to thank you. I'm just so grateful that you've given me a little part in your plans and your purposes, that you've given me a place to stand. And I thank you, Lord God, I recognize the fact I didn't get it because I was the genius or I was smart or I did something great. We know and honor you, Lord God. You called and you sure didn't call me to the place you called me because, Lord God, I earned the position. Oh, my. Father God, I've many times wondered why you even bothered. But Lord God, you called, and I want to thank you for what you put on my life. I thank you for this gift, Lord God, that I get to see and understand things and minister to people, Lord God, far beyond my own imagination or my own thinking. And I thank you, Lord God, because it's you that works in men that causes things to happen, and it's absolutely phenomenal, and letting us be a part of this. And I thank you, Father God, so much for a people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, a people that want something more than what is just offered out here or what you can get by with. Father God, these people are hungry. Father, you would never say or minister these things to people who, Lord God, didn't want them. You would never do that. Lord God, people must draw on these things. And Lord God, they have a desire to know more and understand more. Lord God, they want to walk with you, Lord God, in a more perfect way. And we thank you for that, Lord God. Lord, we don't look at the fact that we've arrived. We realize we haven't. And Lord God, it's only by grace that we will arrive. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for your great grace that works on us. But Lord God, we don't want to do things that shipwreck the grace of God in our lives. We don't want to do things that hurt and stops the flow, Lord God, that you've given to us and work in us. Lord God, we want to walk and do things that enhance that flow and make it greater. Lord God, oh Lord, my great desire is for a greater anointing upon these people, a greater anointing of God working mightily through them, a flow of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, this house that's built together, Lord God, it is a house of glory, hallelujah. Father God, where Jesus Christ is so glorified and magnified and manifested through them, where it will be commonplace, Lord God, for the manifestations of the Spirit to operate through them and reveal that glory, hallelujah, in these last days. Brokeno mambradaste ebregesina vrade vesisa la kahala kadushe lebreto vesena limbra koteshina luli branga borumeme fredege eshele brokia toshishi heheshe. You've stepped into a time and you've walked into a time and you live in a time. Hallelujah. That I have prepared and known. Oh, that men look down through the ages and they looked as if they were looking into darkness. But I have looked down, says the Lord, and I have planned for glory. And you are in that time and that day of that glory. And I've called you to come and walk in that glory. For this is your day and your time. For I've called you for this very time to walk in the face of this earth. I've called the people. And many have been called, but few have been chosen. Many say, yes, yes, I know what he wants, but they're not walking toward it. But you've decided to walk toward it. You've said, I'm coming, Lord. I'm stepping off over into it. And I say to you, you will not be disappointed. You will have no disappointment in this day and time, but you shall have fulfillment. And there shall be a joy that shall ring out in the church for those who have been in my call and have come. And my glory will be upon them. And through them, I will reveal that glory. And they will see wonders and signs like never before upon the face of the earth. Yes, and my glory will be revealed. And there shall be a great shout in the church, and then the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and then you which are alive and remaining are going to be caught up together with me into the clouds to forever be with me. That's my plan, that's my purpose, and many will come into the kingdom because you've obeyed and you've walked in the truth, and many shall be blessed, and many will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. And there shall be great glory in the kingdom of God, and great glory and a shout in the kingdom, hallelujah, for all that has been accomplished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, you've called us and you've told us to step into it. Hallelujah. And you said, we've heard you and we've decided, we're, hallelujah. Many are called, few are chosen, but we chose to step in. We chose to step in. And Lord God, I thank you. What you say is what's going to happen. What you say is what's going to happen. Lord God, we receive it. It's true. It's true, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're in preparation for great glory. We're in preparation for great glory. Preparation for great glory. And we'll see it with our eyes. And it will come through us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you sprinkled all over this nation and all over the world. You have a people that are standing up. Lord God, there's ones that are sitting by and playing. But Lord God, there's a remnant church all over this world that has stepped in to follow. And I thank you that the glory, the great light of God is going to come out of places all over this nation and around the world that is going to stun the world of what God will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord just, you know, is reminding me, you know, when John wrote to Gaius, he said the main thing, or the things that's on the top above everything, I want you to prosper and be in health. God's interested in your health. God is interested in health. One of the worst things that medical science has ever done was got God out of the healing business. It's the worst thing you've ever done. Medical science has caused themselves all kinds of problems by not doing it, by not walking in it. You move God out of the business. I tell you, God's in the healing business and always has been in the healing business. God's always been in the health business. God's always wanted people to be well. Always. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, I come, you might have life. God specifically has worked toward people's health. That was his specific purpose, is to reach people in the area of health. And so you want to get God involved in your health. You want to get God. It's like the Lord told me when I first got born again. He said, many of my people, he said, because of sickness and disease, they're poor. They can't go to work. They can't earn money. They can't do things. He said, and they can't do my will because they're dominated by their sickness. He said, the number one thing, other than my people, he said, they get born again, filled with the Spirit. He said, I want them well. I want my people well. That's God's agenda for the church, is for us to be well. When I found that out as a young Christian, I wanted to find out then how I could take a hold with God concerning my health. I wanted to be well. If that was his agenda for me, and it wasn't just for me, it was for all believers. He wants us to be well. As get a hold of that fact, that that's His plan for us. And I had to, you know, it wasn't a matter of fact, just because God wanted me well, that people get well. You got to walk by faith. You got to believe it and act on it's true. You have to walk on it. You got to get in faith about it. See, it's one of the things that sickness and disease run rampant in America. It's killing our insurance industry and everything else. Everything else is a mess. And it's all this idea. Well, we don't want God anymore. I'll tell you, we're going to take care of it all. Well, it ain't worked, folks, and it's not going to. It's never going to happen. No nation has ever put God on the outside and brought sickness and disease halt to their nation. It always runs rampant. You can't get rid of God and be healthy. You ain't got it. No doctor has ever found a medicine that is that good that could take the place of God. It can't. It can't do it. I ain't against doctors. But I'll tell you what, doctors need God. They get some wisdom. They get some wisdom. Now, we do have doctors out here that do that. I mean, I even met them at the medical center. Now, not all of them surely don't, but some of them do. I had a doctor tell me up there in ICU, he said, look, I did everything I know how to do. He said, man, you need to get a hold of God, because he said, we've done what we do. And he said, you know, we only go so far. This is how we go. And he said, we need God's help. He was smart enough to know that. I had more than one occasion of that. I had a person who was going through a thing, and that stuff where they got a messed up nurse, got air bubble in a guy's vein, and they were doing a different, trying to keep him alive and going there. And I'm standing in the ICU. The head doctor that was in there, and they're working on him, and there must have been 20 people in that room working on him, and I don't know how many doctors and all this was going on. So I sort of felt a little out of place, you know. I'm standing there, and the one person said about me going out of the room, and the doctor said, you don't send him out of the room, you keep him right here. He said, brother, you keep praying. He said, we need help. The guy in charge. See, the other one, you don't need God. You can send a minister out. We don't need them. We got medicine. I'm going to tell you what, medicine didn't save the guy. The guy turned around, and the doctor said, it really wasn't nothing we didn't do. He said we did it, but he said it wasn't working what we were doing. And he turned around. Well, praise God. I've seen numbers of those things happen. But I want you to get it in your conscience that God wants you well. I don't want you to think about it anyway. Now, don't think about it, God wants you well, just because He wants you well, you don't have to do nothing. don't go there. See, some people just think, well, if He wants me well, then if He really wants it, He'll do it. No, He'll do it if we operate in faith. We got to operate, walk by faith correctly. We got to do what the Word says. We got to operate in line with the Word and do it. But you get it in. There's nowhere to start. If you don't think God wants you well, you don't even have a place to start in faith. Where are you going to go with it? Well, maybe He made me sick for a reason. Well, if He did, then what's the reason? Well, if you don't know what the reason is, He's a terrible teacher. He's pretty stupid. If you're sick for a reason, then God don't tell you what the reason is. You cannot learn from it. I just dealt with a woman who passed on. She went to a church and believed God killed people for a reason, for a purpose. She believed that. And she thought God made her sick for a reason, and I asked her what the reason was. She said, didn't know. I said, well, if you don't know, you can't, you know. It's like telling a kid, I'm going to teach you math, but you're never going to know what it's going to be when I'm going to teach you. How are you going to learn? I've never had one person in my life tell them God had them in a lousy situation to teach them something, and I ask them, every time I ask a person, what is it He's trying to teach you? And they say, I don't know. Oh, yeah, they'll say, He's trying to teach me patience, yeah. Patience, but you know what? Patience won't do you a bit of good if you didn't learn nothing. If everything's done for patience. Well, she patiently left the face of this earth. Now, she went to heaven. She's a Christian lady, and she went to heaven, but she wasn't supposed to. And would patience work there? Yeah, I could patiently die ignorant of God's plan for my life. See, that's patient. Woo! And I'm going to tell you the saddest part about all of that was her husband is not a Christian, and she's done told him and put it into his ear that God killed her, and he don't want to have nothing to do with God. Why would he? He got to preach the gospel of death. But God steals your wife for a greater purpose. Yeah, to leave him alone. That was a great purpose. Now, God wanted him to hate him. That's been the outcome. Wow, God's a great teacher, ain't he? Makes you just want to go to church more often, I'll tell you. You have all these things people saying. And you sit and watch it. Jesus' ministry. Every time people got healed, it said it glorified God. Never once did it say. Did Jesus ever tell somebody, no, God has you sick for a purpose. He's trying to teach you patience. Never one time. If Jesus didn't do it in the thing, and he was supposed to, his ministry is a fraud. If God had them sick for a purpose they were not supposed to be healed, then Jesus should have sure run across somebody that God wanted sick. See, we need to get out here and get read the Bible with some thinking. People are saying all kinds of stuff, but it amounts to no good. Thank God the lady went off to heaven, but I hate to see what happened to her husband. The Christians from her church going there to pray and praying with her, but all the time praying, thinking, well, if it's the Lord's will to take you, and the Lord's will, this man's hearing this all the time. He wants his wife to stay, and the church ain't got a clue whether she's supposed to be here or not. Talking about God doing something. Everybody's ignorant. Nobody knows what he's doing. Nobody has a clue whether he wants her to stay. What are you doing praying? If you don't know he wants you well, you can't pray in faith to begin with. But they're going through motions, and a sinner stands there and watches and thinks, they're just as helpless as I am. They're as helpless as I am. They can't see an answer. We don't pray because we can. We pray because we trust God. And if you don't know what God's doing, you can't trust Him. You have no basis of trust. Faith is based upon facts of the Scriptures. It's based upon facts. It's based upon truth. If I don't know what God's doing, I don't know His will, I have no basis of faith that He'll do anything. I don't know. We don't sit. Christianity is not throwing darts with a blindfold on. We're not doing that, folks. And I just encourage, there's people out here that need something in life. I'll tell you what, the Bible says we're always supposed to give people hope. How can you give them hope when you believe God's killing them? Well, I hope God kills you quick. I hope He knocks you out real soon here. What? We preach hope. There's always hope. Well, if a person's going to die, there ain't no hope. The only thing it is, you're going to go to heaven, thank God for that. But you have no hope here in this earth. I want to tell you what, God's hope works in this earth. Amen. If it don't work in this earth, you ain't got no proof it's going to work in heaven. If you can't prove God's hope out here, you have no proof it's going to work over that side. Here's where we prove it out. The truth is proved out in this playing field. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, we got a good playing field, folks. Hallelujah. We may all have missed it in times and done things, but I tell you what, we always have hope for success. Hallelujah, there's hope for us. We find out, I tell you what, we may have got run over the truck, but we're going to get up. Hallelujah. And we're going to find out what the Word says. And we ain't going to stay on the road and let the truck run over us again. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what hope does. Glory to God. Father, we just thank You for today. Father, these things put in us, I thank You for health and healing in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that revelation in itself alone, because Lord God, we're looking at people who are born of God, have the Spirit of God. Father God, that You witness to them, Lord God, Your desire. Lord, that You said, the Apostle Paul wrote himself that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. He'll quicken our mortal bodies. And I thank You, Lord God, this mortal body that I live in right now, being quickened and made alive with soundness and wholeness and wellness in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, that that's working. Hallelujah. Working mightily, Lord God, in each one today. I thank you for the Spirit. The Spirit will lead us in line with health and soundness and wholeness. And Father, I want to thank you. That's the direction He's leading us. Father, that you want to be a great blessing to others. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.